from the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs. This is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
And welcome back to another episode of Locked On Chiefs. It is Monday, and we have a little bit to talk about. Not a lot going on this week. Of course, when we say that, usually things happen. So I guess we'll see if that works out that way.
You never know. And I hope it doesn't blow up too much because I am really under the weather. So folks, forgive my sound of my voice today, but we'll get through this here in the next day or two and see if anything comes down for the Chiefs.
Today's show is brought to you in part by Hotels.com. Don't hate like your friend's trip. Book your own with Hotels.com and get rewarded basically everywhere. Hotels.com. Be there, do that, and get rewarded. Yeah, and I am kind of getting a feeling that not much is going to be coming down, but then again, it always seems like when I say that, something does. So, because I think we talked about the linebackers, and then they traded for a guy named Darren Lee.
Amazing, right?
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, Brett Beach.
Well, you know, honestly, I think it was a good move, and everything I've seen for PFF has talked about him being a fantastic coverage linebacker, which is really what he's known for. Don't know that he's going to play a lot in the base, but it's going to be something to watch going forward.
Yeah, and I talked when it happened a little bit. He could be competition for the will position. I still feel like if they're trying to run Hitchens out there, it might be a little bit of a mismatch, but I think it gives them three solid options, and they can really work through a core of guys that I think bring different things to the table and might be able to offer some different packages.
Yeah, if they're going to run him at will, that means Hitchens is more than likely moving to the mic, though, because you can't have him sitting on the bench.
Right.
Nor should he be sitting on the bench. So I still think he's one of the best three linebackers that they have. It's just a question of whether or not and how they're going to use him and align him. I still think that Ragland's out of place on this defense. And I think this move could make Ragland be somebody that is a bench player now.
Yeah, it could force him into a role where he comes off in short yardage situations, you know, when the Patriots try to run it down their throats again.
Yep. So that's going to be something to watch going forward. Really, the only thing going on was the rookie premiere, and it sounds like Mecole Hardman was having a good time. It's still weird seeing him in 17.
Yeah, I got that impression too, but it is definitely a little bit strange to see that number running around there that isn't, you know, 6'3", so.
Yeah. Well, he's got a little bit more speed than Conley ever did as well, so. But maybe not near as much explosion. You'd have to answer that one, I guess.
Yeah, the explosion is not quite there just because Conley jumped out of the gym. In terms of overall speed, though, like their 40 speed, yes, Hardman's faster, but it's not by, you know, I think it's about a tenth, if I remember the numbers right. The big difference is the way that they can change direction, and that's just something that Chris didn't have in his set of tools. He is more of a strider, whereas Hardman, he can't break like Tyreek Hill, but he can make severe breaks.
Yeah, and when you're talking strider, another guy that a lot of people wanted was Hakeem Butler, and he's really a strider as well. So not a big surprise that Kansas City wasn't interested in him.
Yeah, I have to think so. There's certainly a set type that Andy Reid likes, and I think, honestly, that the league is trying to get towards. I think the days of the bigger body-type possession receivers are something that's probably going to thin out before it comes back in its entirety, but I think everything goes in cycles, so I won't say that it's the demise of the big receiver.
Well, I definitely don't think it's a demise, but I do think it's going to be something to watch moving forward. I do think that different offenses are obviously going to use guys differently, and we'll see how that works out. You know, you have a big guy like Hakeem Butler, and I believe he went to Arizona, didn't he?
He did. The Cardinals took him at the top of day three.
Which is interesting. It's going to be an interesting fit with Kyler Murray, but we'll see how that shakes out in Arizona. You know, you look at this Chiefs offense and you look at their defense, and really one of the bigger things that came out last week that we really didn't talk too much about was Patrick Peterson and his suspension.
Yeah, and it's an interesting topic because the initial reaction by most that I saw, even, you know, media in town, was that, oh, that puts the kibosh on the Chiefs' interest. And I think, if I know Seth, I'm sure he's already written about it, but I know in past conversations, he and I agree that wouldn't preclude the Chiefs from going after him. How do you feel about the suspension affecting his value?
I definitely think it affects his value, but I don't think it affects somebody going after him. I mean, they can still trade for a player that's going to be on suspension. He just won't be able to play until week seven. You know, the big thing, though, is can he practice? Can he be around the team? Can he be through training camp? I mean, if you want to trade for him, you can't wait till the season at this point. Mainly because you'd be trading for, and I guess I am of the opinion you can't wait until after the suspension is over. Because he's going to be have been away from football for 6 weeks. He will have played in the preseason, but not played since. So I don't think you can make that move in season for a guy like that. It'd be a little different if he was playing the first 6 weeks of the season. But since he's not, I think that's going to be a move that you're going to want to make. If you're going to make it, you're going to make it now.
Well, I have to agree. And if you wait until he's about to return from suspension, the Cardinals are on the upswing at that point. I don't think they'd want to part with him at that point in time. So for me, it's somewhere between now and week one that is the viable time to try and wrestle him away. And I know we'll take a break here in a minute, but I do want to summarize because here's the thing. The story about, you know, it's masking something else and it was, you know, whatever the issue was, I don't think it changes what an eight-time Pro Bowler's resume looks like. And I think most importantly, it does two things for the Chiefs that they will help them. It drops his salary cap number because that suspension, he will be without pay those first 6 weeks.
Yes, he will. And Ryan is trying to survive right now. Hopefully he's able to come back.
Yeah, I apologize for that one. It will drop his salary cap number for the year, which helps the Chiefs a little bit, but also, you have to remember that what they're looking for, I think they can get by for 6 weeks on the trio that they have with Ward playing that other outside corner. But you'll be able to get Peterson back midseason and most importantly, save his legs a little bit for the postseason run, which I think is probably the most important aspect of bringing him on board.
Yeah, and you have 6 weeks to get a guy like Ward into the system and see how you can fare the first 6 weeks, and then you're going to have Peterson come back and work and go to your fourth. I still think that's a great group, and I think that could be a move they may consider taking. We'll just have to see how that works out. You know, we do need to take a quick break, as Ryan said. I do want to reach out and say thank you all for all of the iTunes reviews. If you haven't reviewed us, please go leave us a review on iTunes. We do appreciate those. And be sure to check us out on the new Himalaya podcast app. And real quick, before we go to break, I do want to mention, it does look like, at least at the time of this recording, that iHeartRadio is having trouble updating our pod. So if you, obviously, if you're listening to this, you haven't listened through iHeart probably, but just know if you have found us elsewhere, we are on iHeartRadio, but it is paused the downloading right now, and there's nothing that we can do to update it. So we will be right back from break, and I want to throw another trade scenario to Ryan. Remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up. BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. BlueChew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Now, this isn't just for guys who can't perform. It's for any guy who wants extra function to enhance their performance in the bedroom. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor's visits, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code LOCKEDON. Just pay $5 shipping. And that's BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON to try it for free. BlueChew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the podcast. Do you already know where I'm going to go with this?
I have an idea.
All right, where do you think I'm going?
I think it's that kid in Minnesota, and I think he's strong and tall and catches passes.
You'd be incorrect.
Oh, really? Okay. Where are you thinking?
Really? I'm not saying that they need to do this, and I'm not saying that I expect them to do this. But Jason OTC and a couple other people were talking about Le'Veon Bell's contract in New York. He is only owed $16 million for the next 2 years, $3 million for 2019 for the trading team.
Uh-huh.
I find that interesting, and I find that a very cheap solution, especially considering, yes, they have Damien Williams, but Le'Veon Bell can help you out of the backfield in the passing game and can help you at wide receiver.
Yeah, that's true. But he can hurt you in a whole lot of other ways, especially on a young offense with a young group of kids in there. I have no interest in Le'Veon Bell on this roster.
No, that's fine. I'm just saying I thought it was interesting. But to see the fact that the Jets just signed him, and I don't expect that he's going to get traded, and I'm not saying Kansas City needs to make that move. But you have to admit, for $3 million for 2019, that's cheap.
That is cheap for the caliber of player that he was. Now, is there any guarantee that he is back to that? No. The fact that he's held out of OTAs, I don't know if that means he's still trying to get into shape. I have my thoughts, but I think it's really interesting about what is the mentality of Le'Veon Bell if he were to be traded again after knowing that the GM that was run out of town on rails was the guy that brought him into that Jets roster, and that clearly the head coach who is now running the organization in the interim clearly does not want Le'Veon Bell around.
Right, and I think that could be part of the reason that he's not at OTAs. I don't know that I really can fault him too much for that. The coach coming out and saying, I never wanted you here to begin with, and if it was up to me, you wouldn't be here. That's not a great way for a coach to take over an organization. And sorry, Jets fans, and probably not many listening to this podcast, but good luck with that, because that is not a good situation for a team.
No. And furthermore, I think for a guy like Le'Veon Bell that's had kind of what I would call a fragile personality going the last few years with the, jet ski and all that kind of stuff. Yep. Like, I just don't think that is something that's going to make him tougher and more reliable. So I think if anything, it might push him out towards the deep end.
It's possible. And I look at that whole situation and I say, you're Adam Gase and you have this great organization. You have a good organization or a good nucleus of talent. I think they have Darnold, who I think could be a good QB in the future for them. And you come in and you try to basically annihilate this roster, because that's really what he's going to do if he gets rid of Le'Veon Bell after having signed him for a year or for 4 years. I mean, they're basically going to be wasting a whole bunch of salary cap, which if they want to do that, great. I think there's going to be some more people that are going to be on the way out in New York.
Yeah, I think that's just spiteful. That's cutting off your nose for no reason. I think he does have the talent if he shows that he's willing to come into camp and ready to work. I think you got to put him to use. Gase is by no means been a surefire thing.
Exactly. That's the funniest part about this whole thing, right? To me. It's not like exactly. It's Bill Belichick or anybody of that caliber.
I totally agree. So, you might not have wanted him, but he's there. And he is a talent. So, again, with the caveat that he returns to at least in the shape that he was in previously. So if you're Adam Gase, you might not like it, but you got to use it for all it's worth, because you're looking at struggling to win 6 or 8 games again. If you can get to 500, this is a colossal win for the organization and for Adam Gase.
Yeah, and you're looking at struggling to get to 8 wins in a division that should be up for the, not necessarily up for the taking with the Patriots still there, but at least second place up for grabs. Because, I'm sorry, I don't see the Bills or the Dolphins taking a large step ahead.
See, I like what the Bills did. I think they might take a jump. But, that remains to be seen. Bottom line is Le'Veon Bell can help this Jets roster, even if you didn't want to pay him what you paid him. And from my understanding, that's really the thing, is that Gase didn't like the amount of money. Not that he doesn't like the player, but.
Yeah, but you already paid him.
Exactly. It's money out the door. You might as well use what you have.
Well, and my biggest thing on the whole, and the whole reason I brought this up, not necessarily because I expect Kansas City to make a move. I don't. But the whole reason I brought this up is because you look at a situation in New York and you realize how great Kansas City has had it. Yes, there was issues between Dorsey and Reed. We've seen how those have played out, and we've seen, I think, Veach and Reed work really well together. And Veach has been spending most of this offseason basically cleaning up moves that Dorsey made before he left. So I think this roster is going to be set up great going forward. And I don't expect that you're going to be seeing Kansas City in a situation similar anytime soon.
No, I don't either. And it looks like they have the salary cap under control. They're looking at some relief here coming. Obviously, they have big contracts coming as well. So it looks like they're positioning themselves well down the line for the next 2-3 seasons worth of signings. And that's going to be important because there is going to be some turnover coming here. And the question marks about some of the stars, you know, when will they give Jones the contract? Obviously, how huge is Mahomes' contract going to be? And then whatever boils down, what's the situation with Tyreek Hill?
Well, I think you look at, I'm glad you brought up Jones. I think you're looking at them possibly maybe extending him after June 2nd. The Chiefs are going to get another $9 million on the cap as of June 1st, I believe, or June 2nd. It's one of those days. So they're going to gain another $9.5 million on the cap, and I expect Jones's deal will be done shortly after. I don't know why they have to wait that long, but I think that's what they're doing.
You know, and it may very well come to pass that way, and I think that's probably saving yourself some money down the line, especially knowing with Mahomes coming. And I think the structure of what happens with Tyreek Hill, if he isn't charged, I think he plays in the league. I think the Chiefs may ride it out with him and keep him on the roster if no, you know, official charge comes for him. In which case, you then have to figure out how you're going to pay a guy. And I think obviously the whole issue has put risk into the equation. And does make you narrow it down. I don't know if you can go year by year, but you could certainly make it a team-friendly deal that allows a separation to not crush them, even though you're going to be paying the guy a lot of money.
Yeah. No, and I do think that it's what you're talking about when you start talking about Tyreek Hill is you have to look at the reality of the situation. The Chiefs have seen what happened with the Kareem Hunt issue. And Kareem Hunt has basically been given a second chance in Cleveland, and nobody is really talking about the past very much. Everybody seems happy that he's there and think that he's done great for his life. And it's what, 6 months from when all this went down, basically. And Kareem Hunt is a good running back, but I don't think he's a Hall of Fame running back. And you can call me crazy all you want. I think Hill has the ability to be in the Hall of Fame, just because of the way he plays and his explosiveness and all of the long touchdowns he's already caught in his career, and he's so young at this point. If he can stay on the field, I think he has that type of ability.
Well, he's certainly got the athletic ability. Longevity is a tough road, so we'll just have to see how it goes. But, folks, we'll take our next break, and we got a couple other twists that we could talk about.
Today's show is brought to you by Untuck It. Dads come in all kinds of shapes and sizes, and so should their shirts, like tall, short, slim, relaxed. Ever wonder why your father's button-ups look so long and baggy at the end of the day? It can be hard for guys to pull off a casual untucked look that isn't just sloppy. That's where Untuck It comes in. Untuck It is a solution that fits just right. Their shirts are specifically designed to look great untucked and feel comfortable at work or on the weekend. No tucking or tailored required. Go to untuckit.com, promo code NBA to get 20% off.
So I started to go down a path before you went the Bell's situation. Should we go back and talk about other trade possibilities right here in the next few weeks?
Yeah, let's do it.
So the guy that's in my mentions constantly right now is Kyle Rudolph. And I know you like him, but do you feel like he's come out and said he has to have a new contract? Knowing that going in, does that change your perception of what Kyle Rudolph trade would look like?
Yep. Can't do it. Mainly because, yeah, no, if he's not going to play, unless he's under a new contract, you can't do that trade. I personally think that he could still have a better year in Kansas City if he came in and was the number two with Kelsey, especially with the Hills situation, just because I think there are enough passes to go around, and I don't have faith in DeMarcus Robinson to step forward, and I think Kyle Rudolph would allow Hardman to kind of step into what Hill did maybe his first season, as opposed to trying to be more of a factor in the offense.
Mm. Yeah, it does give him a little cushion, but I have to agree with you. I wasn't a huge fan of the fit before this information about where he stands on his contract. And I agree with you. I just don't think that can be done for Kansas City and makes sense to go after Kyle Rudolph at this point.
yeah, I mean, if he wants to come in and he wants to just play, great. But at this point, there's no way that they can bring him in and give him a new contract, because you're going to have to pay Kelsey again. And I'm not so sure that you don't try to get another deal done with Kelsey, maybe next year, before you sign Mahomes, or maybe after you sign Mahomes. Those two seem to be getting along pretty well together. And I think that that's a situation that you want to keep there as long as you possibly can. And I think Kelsey is probably going to want to stay here in Kansas City as well.
Well, I think they at least got to stick together until all the other receivers get married so they can do the dance. But other
than that, did you enjoy that?
I thought it was funny, yeah.
Yeah, it was good.
But I know there's a lot of other rumors going around, folks. So we will continue to address them when it makes sense as we go through the next couple of weeks. And we're going to continue talking about what this team's going to look like coming in 2019, you know, until something breaks, some new news. But thank you for all of your reviews. Thank you for everything you're doing for us. If you have questions, shoot them to Locked On Chiefs on Twitter, as well as Ryan Tracy NFL or Chris Clark NFL. And we will be back tomorrow with a whole new topic. We will still have bringing, we'll still be bringing in new guests. So keep an ear out for that. Thank you for listening today, and we will talk.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes or Google Play. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Chiefs. Check out my work at RGR Football on YouTube, Chris's work on LockedOnChiefs.com, and all of Seth's film analysis at TheAthletic.com. Thanks for listening.